The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
She's back. Hi, welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I have my voice back, and I am here with Dr. Herb Slavin for the next hour, and lots of information for our listeners to make informed decisions about supporting your health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. Good to have your voice back.
It's very good. It's so frustrating not to have a voice, so I'm very happy to have my voice back. It's a little throaty, but I'll take it.
So I want to report on an issue I have with healthcare. Obviously, you listen to the show. I have a lot of issues with healthcare, but I think it boils down to one thing: is what's your goal? What's the goal of healthcare? Now, the way I look at it is to keep people healthy. I think most people would say, yeah, that's the goal of healthcare. Unfortunately, not everybody in the healthcare business has the same goal, and that would explain why there's so many areas of disagreement, so many areas of confusion.
Different end points of research studies?
So I came across a report of... that was put out. This is published on Medline, which is a government website. And the headline was, "Too few Americans are taking needed cholesterol-lowering drugs." CDC. I mean, so in other words, it's Medline is a website for the government, and the CDC is saying that not enough people are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs. And it goes on to say nearly half of American adults who should be taking cholesterol-lowering drugs don't, federal government researchers report. Now, I think we're all under the impression, well, if the government is doing the research, it's unbiased. And therefore, they're coming out with the correct information to help the public in general.
Oh, my goodness.
Am I too naive?
Scrape me up off the floor, because the number of people that I see, and they are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, and then I look at their blood work, and then I listen to the list of complaints, health issues that they're dealing with, I say so much of what many people over the age of 50 are dealing with, aches and pains, sleep interruption, elevated liver enzymes, digestive problems, all those kinds of things. And then you start to look at the side effects associated with the statin class drug that they're taking.
Well, listen to this number. Nearly 800,000 die in the United States each year from cardiovascular diseases.
And that's in the 25 to 30 years after the cholesterol-lowering drugs have been introduced into the marketplace.
According to them, the reason for this number is not enough people are taking statins.
Not enough people are taking OCT-10.
And they keep saying high cholesterol continues to be a major risk factor. And that was a statement made by a scientist in the Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention at the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. In other words, the whole problem we've just discovered now is a statin deficiency.
A statin deficiency has absolutely nothing to do with the sugars, the artificial sweeteners, the processed carbohydrates, the genetically modified foods that these individuals are consuming. No relation whatever.
So the Center for Disease Control analyzed national data from 2005 to 2014. They found that nearly 37% of U.S. adults, which translates to about 78 million people above the age of 21, were eligible. Imagine being eligible to take a cholesterol-lowering medication, or were already taking them. Among these people, 55% were taking cholesterol-lowering medicine. Almost 47% were making lifestyle changes to lower cholesterol, and 37% were taking medication and making lifestyle changes.
Now,
wait a second, and 35% were doing neither. Now, again, here's... You'll have to explain this to me, Janet, because...
Okay, I'll do that.
When I was taught math, you couldn't go above 100%. So I don't know how they come up with these numbers. Just like I said last year, there was a commercial on TV... Not last year, last week. There was a commercial on TV about a drug, and they said if you take the drug, your risk of whatever they were saying went down from 17% to 1%, a 94% reduction. Now, I don't know what math they're teaching in school these days. And here we have...
It's obviously the new math.
So I'm going to say that again. Maybe one of our listeners can explain it. So among these people, the 78 million people above the age of 21, among these people, 55% were taking cholesterol-lowering medication. 47% were making lifestyle changes to lower cholesterol. 37% were taking medication and making lifestyle changes. And 35% were doing neither. And this is put out by the Center for Disease Control.
Maybe one of the things that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, maybe one of their tactics is confuse them, give very, very hard to decipher information.
Well, this, you know, by the way, that study appears in the Center for Disease Control's weekly report called Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Maybe we can find a better explanation of how they use 200% instead of 100%. But here's the thing. You know, first of all, we know that elevated cholesterol is not a cholesterol, I mean, a statin drug deficiency situation. However, it is in a small percentage of people, middle-aged men with a genetic condition called familial hypercholesterolemia. Those are the people where studies have clearly shown there is some benefit to taking a statin drug to lower their levels. But for the vast majority of people taking statin drugs, there is no benefit, but there's a lot of harm associated with it.
Certainly a lot of harm. Okay, what do you think of the line from WestonAPrice.org on their article, Myths and Truths About Cholesterol? And the last sentence in the truth section is, for older men and women of all ages, high cholesterol is associated with a longer lifespan. Do you have a comment on that sentence, Dr. Slavin?
Well, cholesterol is an essential component to our bodies. So when you have high cholesterol, it may not necessarily be a negative thing because we have just as many people with normal cholesterol levels experiencing heart attacks. They seem to gloss right over that minor conflict there, that, you know, people are getting, you know, of the, what, 800,000 people dying of heart disease or a stroke, one in three deaths in this country, it is all related to cholesterol when half the people don't have a cholesterol problem.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, in your testing of your patients, you do a very, very much in-depth evaluation about the types of cholesterol that are circulating in people's body, what the size in particular about LDL cholesterol and so on. And those details and those ratios give a very, very much in-depth view about whether the cholesterol circulating in an individual's body is part of an inflammatory cascade. You get a lot of information about the potential for that cholesterol molecule in the blood to do damage. Isn't that right? And you don't go just by the total cholesterol number.
Well, that's true. But here's how I look at it. When I see elevations, and we test about 15 different fats in the blood. And when I see elevations, I don't immediately say, oh, you need a statin drug or you need to lower your cholesterol with whatever. I say, let's look at your blood sugar level and how you're, you know, what's going on there, because that's where the issues stem from. So typically we'll see elevated blood sugars, elevated insulin levels. So the real culprit is eating too many carbohydrates, because when people make that correction in their diet, the cholesterol goes right down.
Okay, when people see a very high LDL cholesterol, one of the things that I tell them is that LDL is being produced in response to inflammatory processes in your body. And one of the most important things that you can do, as you're saying, is manage the insulin, the blood sugars, triglycerides, all of those. But you want to do everything you can think of to reduce inflammation all across your body.
So, and I'll list a few other tests that we do that are extremely important. But before that, I want to just cite the headline here, because we just, you know, talked about how the Center for Disease Control is saying not enough people are taking statin drugs, and that's going to solve the heart disease problem in this country. The headline is, the Center for Disease Control is exposed as a private corporation colluding with Big Pharma to defraud American taxpayers. See the evidence. So, and I think that's part of it. They thought, we thought, I thought, government agencies should be, let's say, isolated from the influence of...
you mentioned maybe you were naive a few moments ago, Dr.
You know, only this
I'm
is
jumping
this,
on that one.
This goes even deeper than I thought. I thought, well, as we've always spoke about, well, people that work for the CDC, eventually they want a job in the pharmaceutical industry, so their bias is pro-drugs. This is even worse. The federal regulatory agency known as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is somehow a public entity working on behalf of the people to protect us all from disease is simply, quote, laughable. The CDC, by definition, is a private corporation working on behalf of its, don't say shareholders, stakeholders.
Okay, but it's a private corporation, so there is not a public offering for shares of stock. It is right. People who have funded the initiation of this organization.
So here are the key players with the CDC. It's the pharmaceutical and vaccine industries that profit from the spread of disease, not from real prevention and cures.
Oh, we're going to talk some more about this subject. I don't think very many people know that the CDC is a private corporation. I hear music, Dr. Slavin, which means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, now back with a voice, and I'm here this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about some news that I absolutely consider a shocking revelation that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is a private corporation, not necessarily a government regulatory agency. I always thought that it was a government agency that made use of all of the kind of census information and infectious disease reportage, all of that kind of information, in order to come to the conclusions that they put out into the public sphere. And that's not true. The fact is, they are, I'm going to say, beholden, as you said, to the stakeholders.
Well, and, you know, I checked this out because I said, well, how could, you know, sometimes
you get a little unusual information.
Right. Just like, remember, I came across an article where they said they had put in HCG mixed in with a tetanus vaccine in order to prevent pregnancies, because if you create antibodies against HCG, a woman can't sustain a pregnancy. I said, boy, that's really far-fetched. No, it wasn't. It's being done. You know, so there's a lot of stuff going on that is kept secret from us. Well, the CDC appears on the surface, as a government agency. On the other hand, it's listed in the official Dun & Bradstreet directory as a for-profit corporation. Dun & Bradstreet is a Fortune 500 company based in New Jersey that maintains databases on more than 235 million companies worldwide. So it's the who's who of the global business climate and is recognized as one of the first companies to be publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange.
That's Dun & Bradstreet that was publicly traded. And yeah, when anyone wants to find out the status of the financial health of a corporation, a D&B report is one of the first places that you would look.
So we can argue, for example, that no, the CDC is really looking out for the public safety as its first priority. But then when you go to the Dun & Bradstreet, it says the CDC is actually looking out for its own bottom line and that of its corporate allies, which brings us into our second piece of evidence that the CDC is a corrupt drug pandering sham. Many of the CDC's top health experts have ties to the pharmaceutical industry.
That kind of explains their annual recommendation for a flu shot and the supposed reliable statistics that they put out into through the media about how many people die annually because of exposure to influenza.
Now, this isn't a new approach. Only the thing that's new here is the fact that it's a government agency, so-called, doing this. You know, there would be societies out there like the American Cancer Society and a whole bunch of other societies, American Heart Association. They're really fronts for the drug companies.
Okay.
And they promote, you know, whatever their agenda is, taking drugs. Now, here's the thing. Now, the British Medical Journal, now that's a respected medical journal, like sort of like the New England Journal of Medicine in this country. You have the British Medical Journal and the Bureau of Investigative Journalism found that three key scientists who helped develop official swine flu policy for the World Health Organization, recommending that practically everyone be vaccinated, received cash payments from both Roche and GlaxoSmithKline, two pharmaceutical giants that manufacture swine flu vaccines. These two companies, as reported by The Guardian in 2010, paid off policy makers in multiple countries, including the U.S., at the CDC, to write the World Health Organization's guidelines for swine flu that pushed dangerous swine flu vaccines on millions of people globally. With the help of the CDC and other corrupt agencies, these pharmaceutical corporations pocketed billions of dollars. You see how this works. If you can convince everybody to take a vaccine, you make billions of dollars. The tentacles of drug company influence are in all levels in the decision-making process, a British member of Parliament stated, And he spoke out against the racket as it was occurring. So
interesting choice of words, the racket.
Yeah, the CDC has also been complicit in forging fake science to push other dangerous vaccines like the MMR, which is measles, mumps, and rubella. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. blew the lid on that scandal the same year, outing now-shamed scientist Paul Thorsen for stealing $2 million in research money while covering up the link between the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, and autism, which the CDC ate right up in its quest to protect the reputation of MMR. So I think there's we as healthcare consumers just have to be a little more vigilant about what we're being told. And the fact that when you go to a physician and the first thing he says to you is you need a drug, then the next question is, well, okay, I might need a drug, but what's causing me to need the drug? You know, in other words, for example, if your cholesterol is high, what's really causing your need for the so-called drug is too many carbohydrates in your diet. Now, if you have that information, then you have a choice. You could lower your carbohydrate intake, or you could stick your head in the sand and take a drug.
Okay. The whole situation with regard to cholesterol, what I'm going to jump in and say, Dr. Slavin, is there is some research, and I don't know whether it came out of the CDC, about stress playing a role with regard to cholesterol levels. And here's the thread that I'm going to use to connect them. When your thyroid doesn't work, which could be brought about by excessive exposure to stress, one of the mechanisms your body uses to support, to continue to support thyroid and adrenal interaction is to raise your cholesterol. And what I'm going to refer back to is prior to the introduction of cholesterol lowering drugs, if someone's cholesterol was very high, and I'm going to say over 300, then the medical response to it 40 years ago was to give a thyroid support prescription. So something like Armour Thyroid, which has since fallen out of favor because it works so well. So what do you think about stress? That's part of the whole lifestyle profile.
Well, stress affects a lot of things. So here's what happens when you're under stress. Number one, your thyroid stimulating hormone levels go down. So based on that, your body's not going to make enough thyroid. Now, your cholesterol may be going up, and this may be the body's way of anticipating injury, because cholesterol is used to help in the healing process of injured blood vessels, for example. The other thing that happens when you're under stress, you increase production of cortisol. Cortisol is going to have effect on insulin sensitivity, and it typically your blood sugars go up, and when your blood sugars go up, we know that the cholesterol goes up. So all these things work together. I just want to, since we're on the topic, and you should look out for this. I think their seminar is coming up in February, the Annie Appleseed Project.
Oh, usually March. I
is
haven't
it March?
Seen.
I'm going to check. But the point is, it's for the public. This is a very worthwhile seminar. It started out
as an informational seminar for women who were either diagnosed with breast cancer, recovering from breast cancer, or at risk.
And but the thing that stands out, because we've attended several of these over the years, is that the women who were there, the breast cancer survivors, had one thing in common before they were diagnosed with breast cancer, and that was their exposure to a stressful event. So the upcoming meeting they're having, their 2016 conference is February 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Okay.
And they hold it in West Palm at the Embassy Suites. And you really should, consider attending. Now's a good time if you want to go to make your reservation. It's really a great conference. It's held at the Embassy Suites. They serve organic breakfast and lunch at the meeting. You can reserve a room in the hotel, and you just go downstairs for the 3 days. Very interesting lectures geared to the public, and a lot of good information is being passed on.
Just going back to the whole cholesterol issue, Dr. Slavin, one of the things that you can absolutely guarantee with regard to heart disease is an aging population, their blood pressure is going to go up. An aging population, their cholesterol levels are going to go up. Why would cholesterol levels predictably rise in an aging population? Your brain needs the cholesterol to sustain efficient activity. Your brain being primarily fatty tissue, it relies on cholesterol. And you want to support your cholesterol levels with high quality fats. The other part of it is, as you age, your hormones go down. And what you need in order to have efficient circulation of your hormones is cholesterol. Lipids in your blood on which the hormones ride to circulate and communicate with other glands and hormones throughout the body. And then the last one has to do with your immune system. When you age, your immune system is not as efficient and quick to respond to invading bacteria, viruses, and pathogens. And consequently, you need cholesterol. It is LDL cholesterol that circulates immune cells to the site of an infection. So you can see that there are many, many different beneficial, benign functions of cholesterol, and it is needed. And so what happens when someone artificially lowers their cholesterol levels? They increase their risk for mental impairment and depression. They increase their risk for immune dysfunction and exposure to any number of pathogenic microorganisms that have the potential to make them sick with a very, very short-term illness, but to make them ill with something that is much more serious. So there are so many different reasons why you don't want to artificially lower your cholesterol.
And just going back to the Annie Appleseed Project, if you're interested in gaining more education about how to prevent cancer, how to deal with cancer, AnnieAppleseedProject.org. And the meeting's the end of February 2016.
And that music means that we are all set to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And we'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-5000.
4991 to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
Hello, and welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. Before we get back to the discussion, I just want to let people know about the products that I have available, Jana Juice. And a lot of people are confused. They think, oh, it's Jana Juice, it's a drink. No, it's the extract of all of those fabulous juices that are so significant at protecting your healthy cells. Antioxidants. So acai extract, goji, noni, raspberry, pomegranate. I keep watching those commercials on television for palm. And I'm just going to tell people, take a look at the sugar quantity in those palm drinks. And so if you want to get all of the antioxidant support very, very easily, two capsules of Jana Juice, you get the extract and the antioxidant enhancement of all of those super fruits. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And I just want to let everybody know that Jana Juice is available at The Healthy Way, in Boca Raton, Vitamin Emporium in Deerfield, Toonies, three locations, Greenlands. And if you want to find out about the location of a source near you, you can go to janazon.com, and there's a number to call for information, or you can leave an email at janetar@janazon.com. So, Dr. Slavin, we're talking about exposing the CDC as a private corporation with a very, very specific agenda. And so then people might say to me, or possibly to you, well, okay, don't the two of you have an agenda? Don't you want to push a certain brand of vitamin, or don't you want to push a certain testing procedure, or a certain therapy, or something like that? And the truth of the matter is, we're for an informed healthcare consumer. And that informed healthcare consumer gets to make a very balanced decision with regard to which path they might choose to address a different symptom. Well, is it possible that sometimes a symptom, you just need to make sure you're eating well, sleeping well, doing lifestyle support, and wait and see approach? Sometimes I'm for that wait and see approach, sometimes not.
Well, that's true. And I mentioned earlier there are some other tests we do that aren't done in other offices to identify people. See, here's what we do. We want to identify people at risk of getting an illness or getting sick before they actually experience symptoms. To me, that should be everybody's goal in the healthcare industry.
Keep
people healthy, right? So one of the tests is something called LPPLA2. And that test, if that number is elevated, it means you have plaque that's more prone to rupture. That's what causes heart attacks and stroke. So you don't want that number to be elevated. Another one, we've been talking about cholesterol a lot today. Another thing we do is measure the oxidized LDL. That's the harmful cholesterol. So, you know, those are numbers you want to know. So for the people who are really interested in taking care of themselves, and by that I mean eating a proper diet is the main thing that people can do. Dealing with stress in a positive fashion is also important. Exercising regularly, keeping weight under control. Those are the things that people who want to stay healthy have to do. But then you want to do the blood test to make sure that you've covered all your bases, that you haven't missed out on anything. For example, are your vitamin D levels optimal? Perfect example. Are your insulin levels in the optimum low range, not elevated? Are your cholesterol numbers optimized, not just within the range, but optimized? Those CoQ10 levels, vitamin C levels, are they high enough? So those are the kind of things you need feedback in. Now, here's a new study from the University of Michigan, and it confirms that highly processed foods like pizza, donuts, french fries, boxed pastries, and chocolates are more addictive than any other substance that we put in our bodies. The euphoria that processed food brings to the taste buds and the brain is short-lived, and yet the consequences of this addicting food include some of the most deadly and destructive health conditions, diabetes, obesity, cancer, and heart disease. Now,
it's very interesting that you talk about those foods as highly addictive, because then the euphoria is short-lived. You digest it, the euphoria hits, and then it's gone, leading you to look for more of that very substance. So you can see that whole addictive cascade.
Now, there are substitutes in your diets than these fast foods I just mentioned, because processed foods trick the mind into thinking that they are full, but in reality the junk is only starving the person of nutrition. So that's what happens. You eat these foods. This is called affluent malnutrition. You're getting plenty of calories, you're just not getting the nutrition you need. In contrast, unprocessed foods like brown rice and salmon did not inflict addictive like eating behavior. So there are ways to...
Consequently, people don't look for them on a daily basis. So you have to make the informed intellectual decision that you are going to very specifically support your health with these high-quality foods, and you're going to make an intellectual decision to avoid that euphoria that is very short-lived from highly processed foods.
Well, the first thing is people have to realize that this is a problem. In this report, they say that preventing food addiction should be prioritized right along with preventing drinking, cigarette smoking, and harmful drug use. This is a first step towards identifying specific foods and properties of foods which can trigger this addictive response.
Dr. Slavin, sometimes people say, you're taking all of the fun out of my existence. So let's talk about some things that actually bring fun back in.
I'll tell you what takes the fun out of existence: hospitalization.
There you go.
You know, taking drugs with all the side effects. That takes the fun out. But the funny thing is the in this article or report talking about how addicting, fast food is, then they go on to say, as a culture, we are focused on demonizing a plant like cannabis and jailing people over it.
Such a political situation.
And yet we continue to consume much more addicting and destructive processed food en masse on a daily basis. Now, that's putting things into perspective. Not that I'm saying that justifies legalizing marijuana, but it seems that things are really disproportionate here. I mean, the risks of marijuana do not even compare to the risks of drinking, smoking. These are all legalized substances, or the fast foods. Those are
sugar.
Very risky substances. Sugar, and marijuana. Again, we have to be aware of why this is. It's the competition to the alcohol and tobacco industries that is the reason why marijuana is maintained as an illegal substance. Not because of any real danger to the public. Now, I can see people saying, wait a second, marijuana is a gateway drug. This is what they always say. But the real statistic behind that is, yes, 90% of people who go on to take hard drugs, for example, may have used marijuana first. But you got to look at the flip side of that, that only 10% of the people that use marijuana go on to use hard drugs.
Okay, how about the person who starts out as a social drinker and then goes on to have absolute cravings for alcohol and becomes an abuser of alcohol? We're not looking at the percentages and the statistics with regard to alcohol. And I think that the same does hold true with tobacco smoking. You know, maybe somebody starts off with just a few cigarettes in a social setting and ultimately turns to the cigarettes as a means of soothing themselves in a stressful situation.
And I think that's true. And but back to marijuana, there are studies to show the medical benefits of marijuana, not just for relaxation, but for treating some serious illnesses as well. And yet all that is being hidden from
and
the
public. You talked about people being incarcerated because they have been using an illegal substance, the marijuana. What's very, very interesting is many of the prisons are privately owned, and consequently there is a very questionable situation with regard to our judicial system about keeping the prisons full because there isn't a profitability there when the census of the prison declines. So the illegal use of marijuana, being arrested for that use, incarcerated, and it's a revolving door that is not right.
Well, they state something here. The irony of this, he said, a gun-wielding, donut-toting authority figure consumes more addictive contraband in the form of white flour and sugar pastries than the person he jailed who was just smoking a little bit of cannabis. So, I don't know, whether you agree with pot or not, the point here is that the fast foods and the sugar and the empty calories that people are consuming is what's undermining their health and shortening their lives.
And when you find out a little bit about the history of hemp and how it was, again, very, very much an economic and political battle years ago in the 1930s, and here was hemp that was such a universally beneficial plant, lending itself to being made into fabric, into fuel, and literally into a medical extract. Very, very interesting that the petroleum and cotton industries won out. So, you going to have anything to say, Dr. Slavin, or are we going to
go to a
break?
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about this. The headline is Beijing Smog, and we've all heard about that.
I know where it's coming from.
Where's it coming from?
Malaysia.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Well,
so,
Beijing Smog hits apocalyptic alert levels as arsenic and heavy metals fill the air. So why should we be concerned about that?
Okay, very important to be concerned about that. That music means we're about to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And Dr. Slavin, China smog?
Right.
Fog, I mean, really, air quality?
Yep. I'll tell you how bad. You know, it sounds like a comedian. How bad? What is it? It's so bad in China that residents and commuters are wearing protective face masks. In other words, to filter the air they're breathing. They're living under a perpetual blanket of haze. It's so thick that construction has ceased. Highways have closed and residents are strongly encouraged to stay indoors. But worse than stalled transportation and feelings of frustration is the inevitable fact that heavy metals exist in Beijing's air. The group, Greenpeace, noted that Beijing's air samples were tainted with the harmful compounds that included arsenic, that were a staggering three times higher than national standards. So these are all industrial waste products getting into the environment. And the U.S. Embassy there, which monitors air quality, has rated Beijing smog as something that exceeds hazardous health levels. Without a doubt, smog-related health problems run the gamut from lung cancer and hepatitis to stroke and heart disease. Now, we're talking about heavy metals. How come we're not checking for heavy metals in this country?
Then if you checked for heavy metals and you reduced the presence of heavy metals in your body, you would be much less likely to suffer stroke, heart attack, cancer, immune dysfunction, respiratory dysfunction, and that would kind of eliminate a lot of visits to your pharmaceutically oriented physician.
Well, you got to check for it the right way, and that's part of the problem too. They do a blood test. Well,
no, blood test.
It's not going to show up in the blood. You have to do a provocative urine test. Then you could see if your body is accumulating these heavy metals, and then to add, I don't know, make the matters worse. The treatment is not a drug. The treatment is chelation therapy, which the drug companies have no control over directly.
Well, they're trying.
Well, they have indirect control over. You know what they're doing now? They've created a shortage of IV bags, so you can't administer these types of treatments.
Okay. Is there a bit of information put out into the media about why this shortage is occurring? Are we using so many IV bags for chemotherapy that we don't have any for beneficial nutrient support purposes?
The answers I get to that question, they just said there were three manufacturers of IV bags and they shut down two of them because they were creating substandard products. That's what I hear from distributors. But you would think after a couple of years they would resolve that issue.
We have to talk to the health ranger and figure out why these companies were shut down. Were they essentially bought out by a larger corporation that shut them down? Very often that happens. I see it often in the nutrition supplement industry, in the herbal tea industry, and the cereal industry. So many of the companies that started out as a high quality alternative to essentially junk food, poor quality tea, or a very, very good choice to support health with, let's say, a multivitamin. And then a large corporation, multinational corporation, takes over the company, and there is kind of a decimation of the product choices, possibly a little decrease in the quality. Very interesting occurrence.
Janet, we mentioned how polluted the air is in Beijing, and why should we be concerned about it? And the reason is we import a lot of products from China. It might be produce, it could be fish, herbs, supplements. And I think it's important that we be aware if it's coming from China. Now, that's not to say that it's automatically contaminated, but unless you see an assay of those products to show that it's free of contamination, coming from China might be a reason to avoid it. Now, you just told me about something that they want to pass.
There is legislation pending that would prevent products from having the country of origin noted on the packaging. So a lot of times when you pick up grapes, for instance, you'll see that they are from Central America or South America. You can look at kiwis. Sometimes they're from a variety of different countries, and broccoli, all of the different vegetables and fruits that you find in your produce section. And right now you can identify where they are coming from.
Who's behind that legislation?
That's a good thing to investigate. I can't answer that question. But again, referring to the air pollution in Beijing, China and Malaysia are having a disagreement because the forests in Malaysia are being burned down, and the resulting smoke is drifting just because of how the earth is turning. That smoke from the forests being burned in Malaysia is drifting over China. And consequently, the pollution then has something essentially to hang on to, and creating really a very much illness-producing smog that hangs over the major cities. So along with transportation byproducts, so the exhaust from a variety of different transportation modes combines with that smoke, leading to very, very dangerous air pollution situation. Why are the forests being burned in Malaysia? They are burning the forest down in order to make room for coconut plantations, because there is such a profit to be made in coconut oil. So these fads, I'm going to say, it is kind of a fad. Not that there's anything wrong with coconut oil. Very high quality coconut oil is a health-supporting substance, but that skyrocketing demand for coconut oil leads to changes around the globe. And so, Dr. Slavin, have you found any information about where your food comes from?
Well, they do have rules on the books about country of origin. Okay, well, I'm looking up something, but I haven't found where they want to overturn that information yet.
Okay.
So it's just something we need to be aware of if they want to change that. But as it stands right now, they haven't prevented the public from knowing.
No, there isn't. It has not.
So maybe you can't say this comes from China. I wonder if you can say this does not come from China.
There you go.
You know, I'll tell you where in particular you want to note on the label the term molecularly distilled, and that's on fish oil. Because as we know, fish may contain high levels of mercury. If they molecularly distill it, they're removing the mercury from the fish oil.
What about the idea of using fish oil from salmon from pristine Alaskan waters? These are small salmon, and the omega fatty acids are not compressed into omega-3s, EPA, DHA, but rather give you the whole profile of omega fatty acids from salmon. And very, very interesting when you find out about the whole process of where the omega-3s come from. If they're coming from very small fish, sardines and so on, then again, the potential for contamination is very, very low. So I'm kind of on the fence about that molecular distillation.
Yeah, well, the contamination is there. It just doesn't accumulate because the fish don't live long enough to accumulate high levels of it. Right. However, I think there still should be something on the label indicating either mercury-free or, you know, low levels.
Okay.
You have to be aware of that.
They're no longer available, but there was a fishing company in Alaska. They were not able to say mercury-free, but they came out with some other way of expressing the fact that they are no longer functioning. Their fishing boats were burned. Isn't that odd?
From the competition.
People who didn't necessarily agree with how they went about doing business and how they were very much health supporting so that they, you know, were not purveying fish that were highly contaminated. And it was very specific tuna, and it was very small tuna that the mercury levels would not have accumulated. That music means that you have been tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we are now out of time. Remember, Natural Doc Radio is here Monday through Friday, 10 to 11, brought to you by Advanced Medical Testing Centers, 754-216-2332. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope to see you then.
Been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.